Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, with the music of my good friend Carlos Gevis. We get started on this Tuesday, July the 3rd. We're going to be joined by Leslie Eastman in a minute. Leslie is our great friend and also contributor to Legal Insurrection, and she's got a wonderful guest that she's going to introduce, and I'm going to let her do that in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk to Leslie about some national issues. She wrote a very interesting story about the family separation issue, which I thought was a great post. I think she put it up this morning over at Legal Insurrection. We're also going to talk about what's happening in California with the three-state, the idea of dividing California into three states. I don't know if that's going to work, but or if it's going to pass, I mean. But the one thing it will do is, I think, is create some massive turnout, conservative Republican turnout. So I think that, in that sense, it would be it may be helpful to Mr. Cox, who's running for governor. So that may be the unintended consequence of this big vote. So let me say hello to Leslie Eastman in California. How are you, Leslie?
Happy to be here with you on a lovely Tuesday in early July, and I want to start by wishing all our listeners a very happy Independence Day. May
yes.
Your hot dogs and hamburgers be grilled perfectly, the beer and wine flow freely, and we all just have an appreciation for the magnificent documents and independence that were created by our founding fathers.
Absolutely, and I always find it fascinating. I always say the same thing on July 4th. This is going to be number 200 and... I think number 200, and is it 42 or 32? I'm trying to remember.
I'm trying to think, too.
42.
I
think
whatever.
It's 42. No, I think it is.
I just know
no,
that.
It is 42.
I just know that 250, that the 250 mark is coming up when I'm 64.
Right.
So I think we're in the 42 range. So
right. Now, the reason I bring that up every year is because I always ask myself, and when I think 242, or it was 232 at an earlier time, I always ask myself the question, when these men were putting this thing together, you have to ask yourself if anybody had gone up to them and said, you know, someday they're going to be celebrating number 242 of what you're doing today. Maybe some of them would have said, great, but I think a lot of them probably would have said, wow, that would be something if we get that far. But we have gotten that far, and it is really, like you say, a remarkable, remarkable story of a great nation that adopted me when I was a kid, from Cuba. So I'm perhaps even more cognizant of what freedom and all of that stuff means than a lot of people who take it for granted. But I know one thing, Leslie. You have probably seen this series, but there is a John Adams series that came out like 10 years ago. And there's one episode about when they read the Declaration of Independence, when they read it publicly. And that is one of my favorite scenes from that show. And it's available on Amazon or whatever, I think even in YouTube. I always watch that because that scene is so powerful. When you see these people reading the Declaration of Independence and you see the crowd and people reacting, that is really a powerful scene, and by all accounts, it's pretty true. That's the way it was done, Leslie.
Yes, I saw the series actually with our friend Barry Jacobson, and
yes.
It was just very wonderful. And to be transported back cinematically to that time. It was a great experience, and I think it's a great idea for TV watching because the summer TV series is a little thin. It's a helpful, great reminder for me to go and search on Netflix and Amazon Prime to see if I can't pop that up again because
yes.
a little bit better than what the normal fare is on TV nowadays.
Right, exactly. And it's available. I have the DVD or the box or whatever they call it. I have that. And so, I can pop in a particular chapter. But that one in particular, I think I lost my headset here for a second, but I think it's back. Okay, sorry. That particular chapter was really phenomenal. Now, we have a special guest today. We're waiting for our guest to come, but tell me a little bit about him, and then we'll talk a little politics. Tell me about Antonio.
I certainly hope he comes, and we'll just say Antonio is our legal insurrections talented and witty political cartoonist there.
Rest.
He's got a new book coming out, Make America Laugh Again, and I definitely wanted to shine the light on the book because his first one was so great. It's due out on August 1st, and we get a little sneak preview, at least via the radio waves today, over on it. And, it should be another wonderful book to add to anybody's collection. Succinctly, summarizes all the highlights of the Trump administration. And I think since the Trump administration is going to be historic, it's worthwhile having in your collection.
Absolutely. Now, the book, I love the title. What's the title? Tell me the title. I love it.
Make America Laugh Again, because
isn't
it
that
does
great?
Contain a collection of his more humorous political posts. And one of the things I think you and I can agree on is that the left social justice warriors, especially since the election, have completely lost their collective mind and their sense of humor to go along with it. And it makes life a real challenge if you can't just kick back and enjoy and find the amusement and humor in various things, where every moment must be a struggle and you must completely vanquish and defeat your opponents by annihilating them verbally or tossing them out of restaurants or humiliating them in a public setting. So this kind of is an opportunity for those of us who really do support the president can enjoy a little lighter fare as we go on and go forward and vote and try to really, enjoy the success that the Trump administration has had and work toward even more successes in the November election, the next 2 years of Trump's first term, and the remaining 4 years in his second term.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you. Let me, while we wait for Antonio to come, let's just touch on some subjects that are happening out there in the Golden State. So much is happening out there, and being the largest state of the union, obviously it gets a lot of attention. But I mentioned in the introduction that there is a referendum, or whatever they call it, on the ballot to split the state into three states. You would be, I believe, in the Southern California state, right, in San Diego. I think you would be in – you wouldn't be in Central California.
Yeah, we'd be in Southern California. Then there would be a Standard California. Then there would be a Northern California.
Right, so you would be – you would be – your San Diego would be part of – it's sort of like it goes up and then it goes around L.A. and you would be part of that segment. I mentioned in the introduction that I think that this particular referendum, it may not pass. I don't know I don't have enough information to say whether it will or won't. But one thing that it will do is create tremendous turnout. And this is important, Leslie, I think, because when you look at what happened in the California primary, where the Democrat turnout was pathetic low. I mean, it wasn't just low, it was really pathetic. That, I think, this turnout could indirectly help Mr. Cox and save whatever marginal Republican seat there may be in California. So I'm hoping for the turnout, and based on what I see, there is going to be a big turnout because of this referendum, Leslie.
Well, I don't know about that, Sylvia. I'm going to disagree with you somewhat. I think most Californians are real skeptical, and that proposals along these lines have bubbled up in the recent years. What will take Californians to the poll, and this I agree with you with, is the gas tax referendum. Sacramento put through last year an increase in our gasoline tax as well as car registration fees. And, in fact, we just got our car registration fee for my car, and it's double what it was the year before. So for the past few months, Californians have been paying hiked up gas prices, are getting enhanced registration fees. And this now is a proposal to rescind that particular measure. And added to that, the California now has a budget surplus of over $16 billion. So the politicians want the money. They want our crumbs. We want our crumbs back. And it'll be the Proposition 6, the gas tax repeal, which will get the conservatives to the polls. So I have good hope that maybe we can pull off a bit, get the state at least a little bit purple this time around. But I'm optimistically skeptical. Go forward and do the best that I can, and hopefully encourage everyone who's similarly minded to get to the polls. And we will see what we see in November. And I will add my prayers for the rest of the nation that everybody else dives in the red pool. And meanwhile, I'll sit here at the front lines of the battle between the resistance and President Trump.
Yes, well, you make a very good point about the gasoline tax. I had forgotten about that gasoline tax, or the referendum, I guess, on the ballot is a big issue out there. Now, who's the gasoline tax when people vote against the gasoline tax, who would that hurt more? Or I guess what I'm saying is, did Republicans also take part in creating this gasoline tax?
No, it was pretty much the Democrats for the past few years have had the run of the legislature. It was strictly a Democratic move to collect, again, more of our crumbs. So, and keep in mind, too, there's another factor that's in play here, is the sanctuary state battle. A lot of Californians are unhappy with the, again, Democrat-generated sanctuary state policies. And despite the fact that we are often featured, you know, fighting, wanting to abolish ICE, and with all these parades in Los Angeles, with Mexican, flags and Mayan-dressed costume goers, most Americans want security. They want our vulnerable border protected. They don't appreciate illegal entry for immigrants who want to come up. Though none of us want children separated from their parents, we also don't want their parents to haul them up and endanger them by using coyotes or, you know, corrupt officials to cross over into the border. There's a lot of stuff that is out there already that is really being suppressed in the media, and hopefully Californians can get motivated to take to the polls. Plus, I want to also look at the other side of the aisle briefly. A lot of Democrats are now walking away. There's been a walk-away campaign, which was spearheaded by a young gay man, an actor who walked away, and has a campaign where those who are progressive and liberal, but classically so, who don't appreciate the sanctuary state, the hate rejected by the left, and they're just abandoning the Democrats and the progressives in droves, That's another component. So we'll see how it plays out in California. In other words, we have more reason to be optimistic for this election cycle than many we've had in the past, but we all need to work toward, you know, getting a good people in place who will support the Trump America First agenda to really focus in what's good for our nation and not become part of this milieu of open borders, open, you know, America pays for everything,
right.
Which we've been doing for years and years. And
no, I agree with you. I agree with you, Leslie. I think on illegal immigration, this whole border issue, I believe this is a loser for the Democrats because of the way they're doing it, the irrational behavior, the abolish ICE, which is ridiculous. I mean, that is ridiculous to say. ICE had nothing to do with this. They're simply enforcing the laws that we have in the country. I agree with you about, you know, we don't want to separate families, but I also think some of these parents are being irresponsible in putting their kids in the hands of like you call them, coyotes or other people. I think the cartels are also into human smuggling now. So, I mean, it's a very complicated issue, and to simply make it about you want to keep families together, which is what the Democrats are doing now, I think is a bit irresponsible, in my opinion. It's a very complicated issue, and you just can't – you simply – I mean, my sense about immigration has always been the same. You have to have immigration laws, and they have to be enforced, period. They have to be – they have to be enforced. Here's what I was going to suggest, Leslie. We have a couple of ways to go. We can just continue talking about California and politics. I've got a couple of other issues that I want to raise with you. Or at the same time, I like to take a break right now and then maybe give you a chance to check with Antonio and see if he can join us for the other segment. Would that be okay?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll take a small break, and I'll see if I can't get Antonio. I've got plenty more to talk about too.
Right? No,
well,
I know.
Never a dull moment.
No, I understand.
I
understand.
Nowadays.
Absolutely, I understand that. So that's why I was saying, let's check with him, and if we have to reschedule him, that's fine.
Yeah.
But then you
all
and
right.
I have a little bit more to go. So let me give you a chance to do that, and in the meantime, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back with Leslie. And hopefully with Antonio in the second half. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're chatting with our friend Leslie Eastman, and hopefully we'll be joined by Antonio Branco of both Leslie and Antonio, of course, with Legal Insurrection. And Leslie, I've got you on hold, so whenever you're ready, just start talking. But
all right, well,
mention...
I'm back. I don't know if Antonio is going to be able to join us. I haven't been able to reach him. So we'll just plan maybe to have him back in early August when his book does come out.
That would be great, or before.
And you and I can continue to dish about all the craziness that California brings to the table.
Let's do that, because I've got other – I also want to talk to you about what is now being referred to as – well, it's not now. I mean, it's been around for a while. Trump derangement syndrome. I want to talk a little bit about that. But I just want to remind the listeners that a couple of years ago, we did a July 4th show with Frank Burke. And Frank, who's a great – he can read as well as anybody. He read the Declaration of Independence. And we have a podcast on that. So I'm going to post that tomorrow on Twitter and on Facebook. So if you really want to listen to the Declaration read by someone who can read it well, man, you may want to make a note and check Twitter or check the Facebook page, because I'll put it up tomorrow, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it a great deal. Let me get back to our friend Leslie. Leslie, yeah, go ahead and reschedule Antonio whenever whenever he can, and we'll make the time for him, of course, and his book. But let's get back to the issues. Talking about this Trump derangement syndrome seems to be just, you know, I thought Bush derangement syndrome was pretty bad, and it was, but this one tops it really in so many ways. And this latest one is this thing to abolish ICE, and now they're going bananas with the Supreme Court, in a sense, making the entire, which I don't understand, Leslie. I mean, I was talking to my wife about this this morning. Whoever the next Supreme Court nominee, if you put somebody in the Supreme Court, let's say in their late 40s or 50s, they're going to be there from 25 to 30 years, potentially, 25, let's say 25 years to make the math a little easier. So they're going to probably participate in about 10 opinions every year. So that's 250 opinions that they're either going to participate in by being with a majority or the minority opinion. So to somehow judge this person based on what he or she is going to write about an opinion that is not even in front of them, I just think this is irrational. I mean, and it's not, look, it's not, I'm personally opposed to abortion, but if the citizens of Texas decided to have abortion through the legislature and it was signed by the governor, or if you want to go national and the Congress passes abortion and the president signs it, I don't like it, but I can live with it because it's more legitimate. But Roe v. Wade was always one person creating a so-called right to an abortion. And I find that appalling that it was done that way. So what's wrong with sending it back to the states? Let the states decide. Let the legislatures, let the people decide. That's kind of a long-winded way of saying what I wanted to say, Leslie. But, you know, I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. But here's let's pick it apart a little bit, because there's a lot of different issues on the table here. And I think the first one is that the Democrats no longer can do an issue-based dissent. It must be based on fair. And again, this goes back to a burgeoning realization from those on who maybe have more liberal views that the fair is all that the Democratic Party now has to offer. And Brandon Straka, who has opened up the Walk Away campaign, is definitely the one who is presenting the information and getting people to think about the angst and the fear that is the only counter offered by the Democrats. And when it comes to the Supreme Court, the go-to issue is for the Democrats has always been Roe v. Wade, as if there wasn't any other issue that ever came before the Supreme Court that was more important than Roe v. Wade. So that's phase one. Phase two is, you don't like abortion, I don't like abortion, you know, but I don't think it's a significant issue anymore. The availability is there. It's not going to go away. There are other issues that are more critical. And the fact that the Democrats have had their, you know, losses of significance. And I'm thinking of the freedom from having to pay union dues decision that was recently issued, among being the most important, related to abortion. They supported the pro-life clinics in California not having to present abortion as an option. So, and then supporting Trump's travel ban. These are all not unimportant freedom of speech and border security issues that have come before the Supreme Court, and they're weighty and they're serious, and Americans are looking for somebody of a serious mind and temperament. And I was just actually on Twitter this morning, and the coming up with the Amy Barnett, who is one of the Supreme Court picks, and the opposition to her is robust, and the argument that you're using is that she's Catholic. And not only is she Catholic, she's very Catholic. And as a Catholic, and I know you're a Catholic,
right.
You know, I look at that argument being made – First of all, for abortion to become an issue, it has to be brought up before the Supreme Court.
Exactly.
I don't
exactly.
see people racing to get abortion on front of them. And then not only would it have to be brought up to the Supreme Court, they would have to select it as a case that would warrant their attention.
Right.
So that's two phases. And the third phase is decision, which has to be based, among other things, on precedent, which includes Roe v. Wade decision.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of things that negate the absolute fear and pandering to
right.
the base. And not only that, the huge chunk of the Democrats are no longer going to find that fair approach appealing, and most of them are like me, not an important issue. The,
right.
the economy is an important issue. The border is the important issue.
Right.
Keeping your own money and not having to pay mm-hmm. dues to for your organization don't want is an important issue.
Right.
So, and besides that, there's President Trump, who really, I think, has a savvy pick of people. He didn't get where he is by not being able to pick the right person for the right job.
Right. No, you're exactly right. And I agree with you. I mean, look, I'm against abortion on a personal level. But back in 2008, when Rudy Giuliani was considering a run for the president, I think he actually did run, as I remember. But anyway, he dropped out early.
Yeah, he was looking forward to voting for him in the primary, and
right, exactly.
Didn't quite
make it
to California.
Exactly, but people came to me and said, "Well, how can you support?" I mean, I had people say to me, "How can you support Rudy Giuliani, who, you know, supports at least a, you know, Roe v. Wade or same-sex marriage and all of that?" And my answer back then is, well, you're right. Those are issues where I disagree. But there are bigger issues on the table, like the war on terror, which is, of course, very important back then. And I said, I can live with his position on abortion because there's other things about Rudy that I like, his leadership and all of that kind of stuff. And that's how I feel about Roe v. Wade. Now, I tell you what I think could happen with Roe v. Wade. I don't, you know, it may not come down or it may not be directly overturned. But I think you could have, and this is what has happened in most countries, is that you have the right to an abortion. If you're a woman, you have the right to an abortion if you made that decision. But the states also have the right to limit the abortion in the sense that it's 12 weeks or whatever the time is. In Ireland, for example, they just passed, the voters actually approved abortion, but only before 12 weeks, only in the first 12 weeks. But the United States, unfortunately, because of Roe v. Wade, is one of a handful of countries where abortion is absolute. I mean, I know that it doesn't happen. You don't hear about women having an abortion in their fifth month. But technically, it could happen because there's no way to stop you other than your own morality or the doctor refusing to do it. So if they take Roe v. Wade and leave it, or the concept that a woman has the right to have an abortion if she believes in one and needs to have one, but then they at least come up with these other things that, you know, control it, such as time or minors. You know, a 16-year-old girl should not walk into a clinic without her parents' consent, for example, something like that. I'd be willing to drop the issue and move on. I agree with you. It's not the most important issue in the world, and I just hate the fact that the Democrats turn every confirmation for a federal judge into a battle about abortion, and I think that's unfair on the person being nominated. I mean, this lady, I was reading a little bit about her. She's 47. She's the mother of seven, I believe. Notre Dame law graduate, by all accounts, a magnificent lady, a magnificent jurist. But she's being attacked only for one reason, and that is not only is she a Catholic, but apparently she said some pro-life things. Well, I thought we didn't have religious... I thought we didn't have religious tests. I thought in the Constitution it said something about religious tests, Leslie.
Well, you know, it is the standard kabuki theater offered by the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I have to think President Trump is braced for this. He's preparing for it, and he will use it to his benefit.
Right.
And So all will be well. This is kind of a new phrase I've adopted, and it works for me. All will be well. Trump will handle whatever the Democrats throw at him, and we will get a wonderful jurist in there. I just can't be nervous about it. I just can't be living in fear and
right,
angst.
Right.
Because what I see is Trump's opposition is melting down after he's had success after success, because what he does is he uses what he's observed before. He knows their weaknesses. He knows what they're going to be attacking because they've got no original ideas, no real policy, just resistance. So, and if you think about it, in the past, you know, six years, what has he got the Democrats being against? Being against, you know, strong borders, being against, you know, a safe and peace on the Korean Peninsula. You know, being against giving people back their own money in the form of a tax break. Being against companies coming back to this country.
Right. No, I agree. I agree with you there.
Having illegal gang members. You remember Nancy Pelosi supported that, you know, being resentful that Trump was called MS-13 gang members animals. You know, he has used the resistance to his benefit and it's been glorious, and I've enjoyed it, and I think it's going to continue.
Right. I think you're exactly right on that. Now, let's do one more story out of legal insurrection. It kind of ties into what we were talking about, the Supreme Court. Professor Jacobson has a very interesting story, and I'm sure you've seen it. The title of the post is "A Democrat Fight Over Amy Barrett." Is it Barrett or Barrett? I'm not sure.
I think it's Barrett.
Barrett, yeah. A Democrat fight over Amy Barrett Catholicism may be what Trump wants. And then the subtitle is, the more Democrats attack her, the more likely she is to be the nominee to replace Anthony Kennedy. And I agree with the professor. I think he's exactly right on that point. And if you look at the picture of this lady, she looks like a very nice person, a very attractive lady as well. And you just look at this picture, and it's going to be very difficult to somehow demonize this lady. I mean, I'm looking at her picture right now, and I'm saying, how are you going to demonize this lady? I mean, well, you can call her a Catholic. Well, that's not going to fly too much.
No. They're not calling her Catholic. They're calling her very Catholic.
Yes. Well, that's going to really But here's the other thing, too, Leslie. I do think these Supreme Court fights, and I said I wish that we wouldn't be having a nomination fight like this over abortion. I wish that we were asking them questions about, you know, lots of other issues, the travel ban. I mean, lots of the other issues that are more relevant, really, to the country than a fight over abortion. But as long as they want to have this fight, I mean, they pick the fight. This is the kind of thing that gets the religious right. I don't want to call them that, but you know what I mean, the religious Christian vote, conservative Christian vote. This is what gets them out in droves. So if you really want to turn on turnout in the fall, attack this lady, and you're going to see every religious group in the country support this lady, Leslie.
Well, it's going to be interesting because I think the Democrats arguably are conducting a real war on women. And if they do go after Ms. Barrett, that's just the capper in a long string of the attacks this summer. And I'm thinking specifically of the Department of Homeland Security, Nielsen. She was harassed in a restaurant. Then you have Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who was asked to leave a restaurant, and apparently her party was chased down into the restaurant they then went to at the Red Hen in Lexington, Virginia. And then, of course, the famous Elaine Chao defending her husband, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, when they were harassed. So you see a Democratic warring women picking up steam as they try to, I think, you know, tried not to lose so many of their women voters who, again, are walking away because of just the hideousness of what the Democrats and their extreme proponents have become.
I agree. No, I agree with you. I mean, I don't know how anybody can look at this kind of behavior and support it. I mean, if you have a disagreement with Trump, that's fine. If you have a disagreement with his cabinet or whatever, that's fine within reason. But, you know, getting in people's faces and upsetting them with their families, I think that's way over the top. Let's look at one more topic, Leslie, right out of Legal Insurrection. This is your latest post from early this morning, where you talk about families belong together as an excuse for cosplay. Is that what you call it?
Cosplay. Yeah, cosplay. Dressing up in costume.
Oh, okay. I always love your style. I had a feeling that's what you meant, but I wanted to ask you. So tell me a little bit about this article. You've got this great picture on the post, and tell me a little bit about what your thought was here in writing this.
Well, there are a couple of – I wanted to tie together a bunch of different thoughts. As we know, the Families Belong Together rally, highly promoted this weekend by Era Media. And, again, it's more or less a Trump derangement syndrome. We're going to oppose Trump, and here's how we're going to do it, because families belong together, don't separate the kids. Trouble is that – President Trump already signed an executive order that stops the separation when legal aliens are caught with their kids. It's already done. So the march is no longer about that issue. The march is now about the protesters. And if you take a look at the protesters, a lot of them dress up in costumes, do all this very dramatic posters and signage, and it's all about them. It's no longer about the issue. And that was one of my concerns, or one of the things that really got to me, and the media won't cover it like that, but I'll point it out, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who's noticed. The next thing I went over is President Obama. Now, our media kind of insists that he's become a semi-retired gentleman statesman with no more concern than golfing, trips to exotic tropical islands with Virgin corporate executive Richard Branson, and raising his daughters, and that's all he's doing. That's so totally false. Obama has been meeting with all sorts of Democratic poobahs and community leaders and community organizers, and his nonprofit group Organizing for Action has been busy organizing quote-unquote grassroots campaigns, and I think this actually is one of the fruits of their labor. And in fact, specifically, one of the organizers is part of a group that has been mobilized under former President Barack Obama, as reported by my hometown newspaper. So there is that going on. Where what Obama has done is created a fake citizens group to mimic the Tea Party, because I'm sure it is in response to the Tea Party rallies that began in 2009, and he wants to create a Tea Party-like movement against President Trump in retribution for what the citizens really did to him during his terms in office. That ended up in a huge majority for Republicans in the Congress, and eventually we took the Senate, powered by our activism and networking. So that's one of them. Another aspect of this, and I find it fascinating that the Immigration and Customs Enforcement has been the target of this particular social justice activity recently. And when was the ICE formed? It was formed in the wake of the September 11th attacks, and their responsibility is to prevent such attack from occurring again from tariffs. So they take a look at border, economic, transportation, and infrastructure issues from a security point of view and trying to protect American citizens. So it's an American citizen first. And the difference between Trump and Obama is Trump is actually using ICE the way it was meant to be used to protect American citizens. He's rounded up MS-13 gang members and other criminals, and it's been effective. His group has a Hispanic approval rating has jumped to 10%.
Yes.
Because those MS-13 gang members, they're mostly in the Hispanic communities, and now those Hispanic communities are getting the benefit of enhanced protection, and the leftists would like to end Trump's ability to use this agency for that very purpose, and that is actually one of the biggest successes that Trump has had under the radar. So there's a lot to this particular post today, which tied together my thoughts as I look at this inanity that's presented as serious news by our press, not digging to Obama's connection and not figuring out why they've all of a sudden decided to target ICE.
No, I agree with you. In fact, I said one time not long ago, a few weeks ago, when they asked me for an interview with one of the Spanish station, and they were asking me about this crisis with the parents and the family separation and all that. And I said, well, I don't think that this just happened. I think this was manufactured. And I said one of the reasons I think it was manufactured is because the Democrats are starting to panic with the Hispanic turnout. I mean, they're still going to get the majority of the Hispanic vote, but they need more than a majority. And they also need the Hispanic vote to turn out. They didn't in Texas, Leslie. We had I don't want to go off on Texas here, but we had a primary here where there was a Democrat primary with a Hispanic lady, as anti-Trump as it can be, running for governor. And they had the smallest turnout, meaning the Democrat primary had the smallest turnout, or the runoff, I should say, had the smallest turnout since 1920. So, I mean, that was pretty bad. The Democrats didn't turn out for this lady, and you would have thought they would have turned out if they really were as angry with Trump as they say they are. So I just think that the Democrats are panicking a little bit, but the way they're panicking is not a way that I think is going to make serious people listen to what they're saying. I mean, when you watch these marches and you see these people dressed up in costumes as if this was some kind of a party they were going to, and with placards calling for the abolition of ICE or abolishing ICE, I mean, you stand back and you go, these are not serious people. So I'm not going to listen to them. They're not serious people. And I think, if I may just say one last thing, Leslie, here, because it was through the Tea Party that you and I met back in 2012. The one thing that the Tea Party always had was a very serious presentation. I'm not saying that they weren't crackpots.
No, we had our fair share of costumes. But
exactly. But it was done in a very serious way.
An homage to the founding fathers whenever they existed.
Exactly. But if you were to listen to what they said, and I encourage anyone to watch that interview they did with you on TV back then. I think it's in YouTube. It's still there, I would assume, Leslie. And in that interview, you were talking about issues. You were talking about, I mean, you came across as a serious person who was concerned about issues. You weren't, you know, wearing a stupid costume and saying a bunch of stupid things. And to me, that is visible to anybody who is serious. Now, if you're an ideologue and you come from the extreme left, you're lost. There's nothing we can do to save you. But if you're in the middle and you're looking at this contrast, I think you're going to look at some of these marches and go, this is crazy. I don't want to be with those people. I don't want to be with those people, Leslie.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And I think the walk away campaign is the first sign I've seen in a long time where those people who may not be Republican, conservative, because they're you know, all sorts of different flavors of all sorts of different political opinion country, but they're those we'll say with maybe different attitudes who don't want the disruption, don't want the violence, don't want the negativity, don't want the hate. And maybe it's going to be a time of evolution where we will get a new political party or a new option, new way of approaching, governance and, laws that we'll be a little healthier going forward. And I'm going to pray for that. And
yes.
I'm going to support anybody who is making that decision. I may not agree 100% with their approach on just everything, but anybody who wants what's best for the country, who really is not reaching out with hate, you know, I'm gonna make common cause with, and I think that's what our founding fathers would have wanted us to do. After all,
absolutely.
If you think about it, and this is maybe a good way to end.
Sure.
So John Adams and Thomas Jefferson had enormous political differences, and I think
yes.
they had a fracture in their friendship that went on for a while, but
mm-hmm.
eventually they came together through letters and through being introspective about their relationship, and ended up being very good friends and dying within hours of each other.
That's
so,
right, on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration. That's the other incredible part of that story. They both died on July 4th, 1826, on the 50th anniversary of the Declaration. So that's another amazing, amazing detail. You couldn't make that up, you know. If you went to a movie and said, here, I want to make this movie about these two founding fathers who get angry at each other and then reconcile, and they die within hours of each other on the anniversary of the document that they collaborated on, they would say, that's too hokey. You can't do that. But that's what happened. But Leslie, as always, I want to thank you for your input and for being a great friend of the show. And we'll work on Antonio and get him back whenever it's possible. But, you know, anytime you want to come on with any friends,
well, I have you on the thing. You can wish
sure.
me a happy early birthday, because my
yes.
birthday is next week, and I am
that's
going
right.
to be hanging out with the ever-glamorous Terry Lee Ebert Mendoza, our Cleopatra expert.
Yes.
And it's my promise to you that I'm going to see her next week, but the anniversary of the Battle of Actium is coming up next month, so we'll have her on
good.
And do a Cleopatra show.
That would be fantastic. Please give my best to her. And, yes, I always remember your birthday on July 12th because our number three son was also born on that day, so it's easy for me to remember your birthday. So your birthday and my son's birthday on the same day. How lucky can I get?
Yeah, oh, great. It's good omens. And just a super big hug to you electronically. A big hug to and welcoming Independence Day to our fans on there. And, just keep on going, Sylvia. Doing great work.
Thank you so much, Leslie. The same to you. You're absolutely wonderful. Have a wonderful day and get my best to everybody at Legal Insurrection.
Will do.
Thank you so much. Leslie Eastman, one of our very favorite people. And if you follow Legal Insurrection, I'm sure you've seen many of her writings, many of her posts. Usually puts one out just about every day, so there's always something new from her just about every day. There's one very good one that we talked about today, and that is the family separation issue that she was just talking about here toward the end of the show. Well, very happy July 4th to all of you. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your July 4th, and enjoy all the good things that come from having a day off. But also, if you get a chance, think about what it means, July 4th means. It's a lot more than a day off. It's really one of the most important days in the history of the world, if you analyze what happened and because of it. Bye-bye, everybody.